Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Would you like to cut through the Wall Street bull and know the right way to invest your money? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, helping you to get 1% better 5 days a week. And today, you're going to learn the right way to invest your hard-earned money. But first, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter at leadx.org. Each issue has actionable tips you can try right away to advance your career and to fulfill your potential. Visit leadx.org. Our guest today is an author, speaker, and a triathlete, but he's here today as the founder of CSI Capital Management, where he used to supervise over $1.5 billion in assets for 30 years. He's been named by Barron's as a top 100 mutual fund manager, and more recently named as a top 100 independent investment advisor. His new book is A Capitalist's Lament. He is Leland Faust. Welcome, Leland.
Thanks. I'm delighted to be here, Kevin.
Now, we're going to talk about A Capitalist's Lament in just a minute, but we're going to start with some questions that our listeners are always eager to hear about. And the first is, can you share with us a time when you failed, maybe early in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Well, one incident that sort of leaps out at me, I've always sort of approached things as people are going to be reasonable and fair, and I had been warned by somebody to watch out if we started to do well, that attacks were going to come. And when a totally groundless attack of us came, I kind of figured, well, logic and good sense would prevail and kind of played it down. And then it got worse and worse and worse, and it took us longer to fix it than it should have. So what I learned from that is it's good not to be constantly worrying that people are out to get you. But if you find a time when something isn't going right, then reverse course and say, okay, I got to deal with this right now and take it really seriously.
That's great advice. What about, Leland, a popular idea today is this notion of trying to achieve work-life balance. So what are your thoughts on work-life balance? Do you have any tips for those of us who are trying to achieve it?
Well, I like to think that I did a reasonable job of that. Everybody does, of course. But I think that it's important not to let your work just totally overwhelm you. So one of the things that I was very interested in, you mentioned it, was, triathlons and swimming and running and that type of thing. I've always done it. And I said, no matter what, I'm going to get my workout in. So now the question is, well, how could I be a decent triathlete and yet have a full work life? And the answer was to really be economical about it and efficient. So I wouldn't go for a 2-hour jog. I'd go for a 45-minute, killer run. And by being efficient, I could, do both. And I think that that's sort of what I would recommend. Is just think of, don't give up what you want to do, but just be efficient about it.
Efficiency is so important. And I like the example you gave with fitness, because I think so many of us, our workouts are one of the first things to go when things get busy. At least I know in my world, that's the way it goes. But if we can stick with them, I honestly believe that the workouts will help us to become more productive throughout the day.
Well, I think that's true. And certainly my wife agreed with you, because she said, I don't care what happens, go work out before you come home.
You married well, Leland.
I think I was a nicer guy after it worked out, but...
Okay, so listeners, this interview is a little different. It's a little bit less career focused, but of course, we all want to protect and grow our money that we're working so hard for, right? Leland, your book is A Capitalist's Lament, and in it, you really unmask the Wall Street firms. You say they mislead us, they overcharge us, they expose us to too much risk. I really encourage anyone who's interested in not just their own money, but literally the future of America to read this book. It's really an expose. But I want to get practical for the purpose of this interview. And let's start with financial media. So if I care about my money, I'm really trying to make my money do a lot of work for me, earn a lot of returns. Should I be watching CNBC all day and, coming home after work and watching Cramer scream at the TV camera about what stocks to buy and sell?
Well, absolutely not. It's just the people who you really would want to listen to aren't on TV because they refuse to be involved in the hype. And the people there don't have any particular benefit to provide you. They're there for ratings and to sell our services or to sell our advertising. And I know it sounds difficult to understand, but their suggestions have proven over and over again not to be helpful if you just compare them to, you know, the indexes. So, I mean, Cramer is a great example. He was, for a number of years, was promoting the former baseball player Lenny Dykstra as one of the best financial people in America. And this was just, to me, absurd. Dykstra was a baseball player who admitted in an interview that he never read anything because he was worried about his eyesight. And then he says he's one of the best in Wall Street. Well, Dykstra himself went bankrupt a couple of years later. And that's kind of extreme case, but you still get that everywhere. You know, hedge fund managers that make literally $1 billion a year get on and say, well, these are my two favorite stocks, and then they tank. I mean, it's just a matter of nobody checks up on them so they can get away with this. But my advice is sort of funny, but I'm also being serious. You know, watch the Comedy Channel, not the financial media. It's more entertaining, and it'll save you money.
Watch the Comedy Channel. I like that. So similar to following the hype of the media, you know, I find it's hard to get away from everybody's great ideas about, you know, how to make money fast. You know, I've got one person telling me I should be trading Forex, and another one says, you know, I should put money into this new hedge fund. More recently, someone said that there's a way to, you know, short the stocks that get mentioned in Donald Trump's tweets. So what do you think about all these ideas for ways to make money? I mean, it always seems like these ideas, these tips go up when the stock market is doing well and it's extra frothy.
Well, sure. When the market's up, people are more interested for obvious reasons. But again, the touts have been proven over and over again not to work in the long run. If it were so easy, everybody would do it. And the knowledge is out there. You know, there's no proprietary knowledge. It's not somebody who says, well, I know something everybody else does. Anybody that says that, run for the exit. I mean, it's all public knowledge what's out there. And if anybody really had secret information that worked, they wouldn't have to tell you to make, you know, a fortune. So I would stay away from that. I think it's reasonably clear that all these exotic type investments, you know, are either gambling that doesn't work in the long run, or sometimes there are trends that were there for a while, and as soon as they change, it's no good. And prior record, unfortunately, doesn't mean anything. I mean, Twice, the mutual fund manager was named the manager of the decade in the 1990s. Well, the next 5 years, his mutual fund literally was 857 out of 858 funds. So what does that tell you? What worked in one time period didn't work in another, and he couldn't adjust. Or you get a hedge fund guy who 1 year beats the market and makes literally $1 billion, and the next year his fund goes down 47%. Well, I mean, this is what's going on with all these type things, and if it were so easy, there'd be lots of people out there doing it.
We've talked about what not to do. Let's shift to maybe what we should do, and let's take first as an example, Leland. You know, let's say one of my listeners is a young professional, you know, who's doesn't have a lot of money in the bank yet, but, you know, maybe making 80 grand a year and they're saving, say, 10%, which is, you know, a lot better than most people are doing. You know, where should they put that money? Where should they be saving that money?
Something like that. I would certainly want to have it in a very small group of index funds. You know, you're not going to beat the market by trying to get somebody who can outperform, and you want the safety of the diversification. So, you know, you might want to pick just, you know, three or four index funds, including strange but true even for young people, part of your money in a low-risk bond fund and then part in a stock fund or two. And leave it at that when you're starting out. It's very unappealing for cocktail party conversation, but it's really the way to go. And and it's going to outperform most things over time. That's been shown again and again and again. So that's what you should do. You want to be safe. You want to be in diversified. You want to be in high quality investments, and you know, let your nest egg grow that way.
Great advice. And when you're talking about an index fund, again, it's a large basket fund so that you're getting that diversification. It reduces risk. You know, it's going to appreciate with the global economy and the markets over time while keeping your actual costs very low. Now, Leland, let's say we're a little bit older. You know, we've got some assets built up, our savings have built up, and it's time for us to find a financial advisor, someone to work with us, you know, professionally. So how do we know if we've got a good advisor on our hands or not?
Well, that's certainly a very difficult question. But there are certain things that you can do to, you know, largely increase the chances of that. The first thing, and I think this is absolutely key, is that you only want to be working with a so-called fiduciary. That's a legal term. But fiduciary means someone who by law is required to put your interest first. So it's client first, no excuses. So there's no conflicts of interest, et cetera. Well, how do you find out if they're a fiduciary? Well, you ask them and you get them to put it in writing. Just a simple one sentence letter. I am a fiduciary, and they sign it. If they won't, then it's time to go elsewhere. You don't want to be dealing with the brokerage community and salesmen. And I know that every broker is not necessarily a bad person. I'm not saying that, but they have a conflict of interest and you just don't want that. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would tell people is if someone tells you they know what's going to happen as opposed to they have a thought, you want someone who has a balanced approach. Yes, you know, times are good and therefore we think the market may go up and here's why, you know, but we're a little bit concerned about that. That's the kind of advice you want to get or person you want to get advice from, not the market's going up, we know it, or this sector's going up, we know it, because nobody knows that. So strange but true, you want somebody who's less sure about the future, not more. The third thing is you want people, in my view, who only use the old-fashioned investments, stocks, bonds, real estate investment trusts, mutual funds that have those things. You don't want to be involved in short selling, in options, in derivatives, in hedge funds. So those kind of things. So again, that's where, you know, if you're in long term and looking to come out at the end, where I think you want to be.
I want to come back to this idea of a fiduciary, because I think a lot of my listeners, that's going to be a new term and they might be surprised. You know, you're saying that a lot of planners or advisors out there, even if they've got that title, they tell you they're a wealth advisor, or even if they're working, you know, at a very prestigious sounding Wall Street bank, a big company, when they're talking to you about your financial goals, your current assets, your risk tolerance, it seems like they are consulting for you, that they're really working for you. But you're saying in most of these cases, those people are just brokers. They're not really fiduciaries. How are they making their money? Who do they really work for?
Well, they work for the firms that employ them and themselves, and they're, you know, they can sell you a higher cost product. It's perfectly legal for them to do that. So, you know, you don't want someone who's selling you a mutual fund that's going to cost you, you know, 5% to get into, or has a disguised 5% load that you pay in installments over time. Things like that. So, you know, you think you're getting something that doesn't have any commission, and it does. And I don't care how good your intentions are, if you make your living by selling products with commissions, what are you going to do? I mean, so it's not necessarily these are bad people, but they're in a bad system. And so, yes, they may say they're a financial planner, they may say they're an advisor, but are they getting paid for the specific investment that they put you into? If the answer to that is yes, then you don't want to have them advising you because they can't exercise good judgment. So, I mean, it's so crucial in my view that you have the fiduciary, the one that has to be on your side.
Yeah, Leland, when I first learned about this, I mean, I was really shocked. And listeners out there, I mean, you really need to ask these questions. Because if the person you're working with is not a fiduciary, the odds are they make their money every time they get you in or out of a stock or a fund. They're going to be pitching you ideas or making recommendations, partly because that's how they're going to make more money. Or there's hidden costs in the fund that they're trying to put you in. It's often run by their bank and they're making money up, you know, again, on the back end. As Leland said, you know, it's a funny word, but you just need to ask your potential advisor, are you a fiduciary? You want someone who's a fee-only advisor. You know, they're going to make their money as a percentage of your assets. So they're just going to give you objective advice. They want to grow your assets. They're not going to make money by getting you in and out of different stocks. And, you know, while it seems like you're paying them every quarter, you know, whether you're doing a lot of activity or not, you know, that's a good thing. They're only making their money giving you honest, unbiased advice over time. Leland, before we wrap up, I like to challenge our listeners every day to become a little bit better. When it comes to investing, wealth management, is there one specific thing you can suggest our listeners try today?
I guess beyond the fiduciary thing, I would say make sure that you are investing and not gambling. And I have to define the difference here. You know, investing, you want to own the proverbial piece of the rock. Gambling means you're just betting with somebody else. So whatever you win, he loses, or vice versa. In an investment situation, you can both parties can get what they want. So the gambling is what I would certainly stay away from. Don't do short sales. Don't do options. Don't do hedge funds. Don't do derivatives. I mentioned this before, but I think it's just something that you really want to do. And it's, you know, that's the one thing, no matter whether you're doing it yourself, whether you have a fiduciary advisor, you just don't want to be doing those things. You want to be investing because that's what pays off in the long term.
Perfect. And Leland, where's the best way our listeners can find out more about you and your book?
Well, I guess you can go to LelandFaust.com, LelandFaust.com. Or if anybody wants to email me, it's LelandFaust7@gmail.com.
All right, friends, you've just been mentored by Leland Faust, and you just got the personal email address of a top 100 money manager, only on the LeadX show. Check out his new book on Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. You can get the links he mentioned and all the show notes from this interview over at LeadX.org. And listeners, I've got a favor before you go. Spend 1 minute, please, and leave an honest review for this show up on iTunes or Stitcher. And let me know when you do, and we're going to invite you into our private LeadX Ambassador group on Facebook. We do monthly giveaways. We chat with our guests. We have a lot of fun. My email address is kevin@leadx.org. Just reach out when you've put up that honest review, and we'll get you into the Ambassador program. Until next time, remember, you don't need a title to be a leader. It's about influence. How will you lead today?